Hello and welcome to Good in a Crisis number 7, all about the young people's services that we provide here at LSLCS. Just a quick preface to the episode you're about to hear. This was recorded in August 2020, so apologies that it's taken so long to get this one out. And just a couple of little things to mention, that everything that was said is still completely relevant, with the addition that Safe Zone are now providing some face-to-face support a couple of nights a week. For further details, please do check our website at lslcs.org.uk. Hello and welcome to Good in a Crisis, and today's special young persons edition. And with me I've got Alice, who is the Teen Connect support worker, and Nisha, who is the senior worker at Safe Zone. First, would you like to just tell us about yourselves?
So I found Connect. I just left university and I didn't know what to do. So I was kind of milling around trying to find a job or find some kind of calling. And I found this volunteering opportunity to volunteer on Connect. So I went along to the training and it just clicked with me. It was exactly what I was wanting to do. I'd always kind of been the listener in my friend group. People would come to me and kind of talk about what was going on and we'd work it out. We'd go on things called walk and talks, where we'd walk around and talk things through together. So once I found this, it was just like, this is the perfect fit for what I want to do. So I fitted my volunteering around my job, as in I structured my job so that I could still volunteer on a night and made sure that I was there every time, do the volunteering every week, and gradually just worked it up. So I started as bank staff, and then I got a contracted role, and then I got this role. So I work on the helpline 3 nights a week, which includes Connect and Teen Connect. And I do all the promotion and outreach for Teen Connect. So I go to schools and I talk to people and I meet services and just do lots of emailing. And at the moment, lots of Zoom calls. And it's just the perfect fit. It embodies everything that I was already being before, and now I can do it as a job.
Perfect. So just, I'm curious, what the Zoom calls that you're doing now, are they in place of where you would have gone into schools and things like that before?
Yeah, it's in place of where I would have gone to meet services face to face. Yeah, having those conversations about what we're offering, what we can still offer, what that support looks like when you contact us and through the night.
I see. Thank you very much. And Nisha, would you like to introduce yourself?
So I'm Nisha. I went to university as a mature student. I did a sociology degree, and I did as part of that I did a counselling module, which again I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I left, but I did really enjoy the counselling module. So I was kind of thinking maybe I'll do counselling. But I didn't do that. So I did some voluntary work at the marketplace where we work with young people. And I really, really like that. I just got into it straight away and realised that that's what I wanted to do, was work with young people and support them with their mental health. So I did that. I've been working there for 3 years. And the idea of Safe Zone came up. We were all offered the opportunity to work on a new project called Safe Zone, which was going to be, I found it a really exciting concept. We'd be supporting young people, but we'd also have the added extra service of supporting parents and carers as well, which I felt like was something that was a little bit missing amongst other services. But it's just that now, rather than asking parents to sort of come back and pick up the young people when they're finished, we can actually offer some support as well. Did that for a year at the marketplace, but with a new title of Safe Zone on one night a week. So it was also out of hours as well. It was later than the marketplace service. We were in the city centre. I think a lot of people, including myself, really felt like it could do with spreading out a little bit over Leeds. So the new Safe Zone, when we go back into working face-to-face, will be in 3 areas of Leeds.
So the marketplace, just to clarify, is a young people's support service?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And what sort of things normally go on there during the daytime?
Yeah, so quite a lot of different things. There's like a youth work team and a counselling team. We work together, but slightly differently. So I'm on the youth work staff team, and we offer drop-in sessions prior to the lockdown, they were coming in and without an appointment. But there might be a bit more of an appointment system when we go back.
So before lockdown, people could turn up for the drop-in any day of the week, is that right?
Yeah, without an appointment. Okay. So basically the drop-in sessions for young people, there's no sort of assessment needed. Young people can just come and feel free to talk to us about anything that's bothering them. That can be something like sort of exam stress, falling out with friends, or it could be sort of a more a crisis situation. Staff and volunteers in drop-in are trained to work in a person-centred way, and we're just sort of ready to support young people with whatever it is they want to talk about. It's confidential service. There's no waiting list or anything. They just come on the day and speak to somebody. And then from there, we can also signpost to different services. So one of the signposts that we do quite a lot is Teen Connect and Safe Zone. Because of that, the idea that they can call at night time, for example, because Marketplace does close at 6 o'clock. So we often say, you know, obviously nighttime can be a difficult time for a lot of people. So we often say to people, you know, okay, so we're closing now, but this is a service that you can use at night. So quite a lot of our work as well is signposting. We have sexual health testing in the Marketplace as well, so we can do that.
Well, you actually have the facilities in the building to do the tests.
Yeah, we do tests. Yeah. Wow. And we do a pregnancy testing, and we distribute condoms and things like that as well. So it's quite a lot going on.
Yeah, so it's much more than just an emotional support service. There's a lot of practical help available too.
Yeah, there is.
But these services, as you were saying, they're all in the daytime. So Safe Zone was a new idea to have something open at night.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And what we did find is that we were getting a lot of parents phoning up and needing to talk to somebody. So we were doing parental support over the phone quite a bit, you know, even if it's just like 10 minutes here, 15 minutes, you know, they're phoning up, they're wanting to tell us what's going on for them. We were doing a lot of sort of work with parents. So Safe Zone made that all more kind of official and made it so that it's part of the service then to work with parents and to have a member of staff that was family worker. So it became part of the service for parents to stay on site and get some support at the same time as their young person.
Parents would bring a child in, child goes in for support with a worker, and then another worker stays with the parent.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Yeah, which I think is working really well, you know. And also, if some parents don't want to do that, then that's absolutely fine. They can go off and they can have a coffee or whatever. But quite a few parents do take advantage of that. So I'm looking forward to that expanding as well.
On the subject of giving parents support as well, I was thinking about confidentiality. Is there anything that you'd want to reassure the young people about?
Everything is still kept confidential unless, you know, somebody is in danger. Other than that, everything's confidential, and the work taking place with parents is always separate to the work with young people.
So there's no chance that you're going to go back to the parent and go, oh, that they were telling us about this just now?
No, not unless we had concerns around safety, but other than that, no.
So this model that you started off at the Marketplace was just one night. What day of the week was that?
That was a Monday evening.
Okay.
Marketplace would be open till 6, then they would close and Safe Zone would open.
So the three different sites. So then Thursday night, I think, is going to be from Dial House in East Leeds. And where's the other one?
Thursday. Monday will be at the Marketplace in Leeds, in town. And then Sunday will be in Beeston, Touchstone at Beeston.
Okay.
Yes, it's really exciting. I'm really excited about it all.
And it's that same model that was working on a Monday night at the Marketplace. You're just going to be doing it from three different sites.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's really unfortunate about the timing, though, isn't it? Because you were due to launch just after lockdown started, so you've not actually done the face-to-face bit yet.
Yeah, it is. It is difficult timing, but I think we've had quite a few calls. We've supported quite a few people.
Great. And what time is it open, then?
We start taking referrals from 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And then the support starts at 6,
So it's very much an on-demand service like Dial House and Connect. You get in touch on the day you want support.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay.
And we can also call people if they say that they'd like us to call them.
And is it over the phone, or are you doing any Zoom or text sort of support, anything like that?
At the moment, yeah, just the phones at the moment. I think due to the age of the young people, Zoom's a bit tricky.
I was going to say, are there any restrictions around?
Okay. We can't really do it. We're under 16s.
Okay.
And we work 11 to 17, so sticking with the phone support for now.
Okay. Alice, can you tell us about Connect and Teen Connect ages and stuff like that? Because I work in Dial House, which is a 16 plus service, so all this stuff is completely alien to me around age, working with different ages.
So Teen Connect launched in June 2018 in partnership actually with the Marketplace, and it was for ages 13 to 18, but that included age 18. So if you're 18, you can still contact Teen Connect through the Teen Connect channel. But as of this year, I think it was in April, it's now 11 to 18 year olds. So we've had that expansion just to catch that age before, because we were finding that there was a situation where someone might be sat in class next to somebody else who can contact and the other person can't contact us. Mm. And we wanted to capture that age. That transition between primary school to high school is massive. Year seven, you really need that extra support sometimes. So we really wanted to make sure that we could capture that extra little bit. And luckily we got the funding for that. So that's now 11 to 18 year olds for Teen Connect. We can see this demand. We had 11 and 12 year olds contacting, asking if they could speak to us, and we had to turn them down. We do our best to signpost and give them another option for support that night, but it was really disheartening for the whole team to have to turn away a 12 year old who really needs that support that night, and they're brave enough to contact in, and we really, really want to support as many people as we can. So it was really gutting for the team to have to turn them away, but now we don't have to. Great. So if you're 11 and 12, please feel free to contact us.
Yeah. And that's just very recently, did you say?
Yeah, as of April, that launched. So it was mid-lockdown it launched. So we've been getting the word out on social media, talking to services, letting people know as much as possible. And actually, before the expansion of 11 to 18, we had the expansion of our opening times as well. So from Monday to Friday, we're now open from 3:30, just to capture that end of school bit, or maybe it's end of school before you start work, or before you start your homework, or before your parents get home. It's that little extra bit of support in that window that might have that much difference to somebody who really needs to get something off their mind from that day. So we're really proud of having that expansion of time as well. It's such a massive difference. So that means Monday to Friday we're open from 3:30 until 2 a.m. and Saturday and Sunday we're still open from 6 till 2.
You mentioned the Teen Connect channel. So there's like a different way for teens to get priority contacts or something?
It's a different service. So it runs directly alongside Connect Helpline. It's run by the same staff, but we have a dedicated staff member on every shift who is there to support teens.
Right.
So Teen Connect can contact through the main phone number, which is 0808 800 1212. And they can also text in for support. So if you just text us and let us know that you're wanting support, you can text us on 07715661559, and you can just request support. We have a little bit of a back and forth. We just need to check what your age is, check that you live in Leeds, and double check which mode of support you're wanting that night. So you can have support over the phone, but text in to request it. You can also have support online on our IM Messenger. But the text support is just for Teen Connect. That's not something that we offer to our adult callers on Connect. It's just a Teen Connect offer of support. And what that means when we say text support is literally the member of staff is only supporting you. Whenever we're supporting someone, we are only supporting you. We're there just for you. And the team text support, we're sitting there with a phone and it's a full hour just back and forth with that person. If you'd prefer to split into two halves, that's okay too. You can let us know that you'd prefer to have half an hour earlier on and half an hour later on, and we'll do our best to make that work as well. It's so, person-centered support, so we really want to make sure that it is about you and that the teen is at the heart of it. So if that's what works best, then that's what works best, and we'll do our best to accommodate that.
So what's that like then, spending an hour texting? Because I know I've got different friends and some, they seem to be able to reply within a few seconds of me hitting send, and other people take much longer. Do you find, is there a theme of how quickly teens can type?
I think it completely depends on the person. The same way with the adult callers, there might be a bit of a delay if you're doing an IM Messenger, or if you're on the phone, there might be some pauses. I think we do see that in text supports as well. If someone's taking a little while to respond, sometimes then you get a massive paragraph back, and it's that actually they've dedicated a lot of time to writing that paragraph and they've been thinking a lot. And the same can be for us. So if we take a little while to respond, it's probably because we're sat there really thinking about everything that you've said and thinking about what that means for you before we write a response. So yeah, it can be a little bit, it can feel a little bit disjointed sometimes, and other times it can be that immediate response. Like you said, some people just reply straight back, and sometimes the workers can reply straight back as well, and that might change depending on which worker you get that night.
Do people use emojis in these tech supports?
Yeah.
Great.
Lots of smiley faces if we can. Some people are more comfortable with it than others. But again, that's part of the person-centered support that you get. Like, we're real people on the other end of this offering support, and we're genuinely people that want to care, like do care, and we won't judge you, and we want to support you as best we can. So sometimes you will get someone that uses a lot of emojis, and sometimes you won't.
I find I use more emojis as time goes on. Like, almost like I don't like using words anymore. I'll just sort of send a, oh, there's a picture that represents how I feel. It's much easier.
Yeah, I've got in the habit of doing that, actually. Just putting a random sun on the end of a sentence.
Yeah.
So one thing I want to highlight with Teen Connect, though, is like you were saying before, we also offer support to parents.
I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't know that. It's not had a lot of take up. I think because we're targeting more towards the young people. But if a parent has a teen and they would like some support, they're welcome to contact Teen Connect as well. And they get support through the Teen Connect channel then.
It makes complete sense to support the parents as well. But I just totally wasn't aware of it. I think that's great.
So like if a teen contacted, but their mum contacted as well, if we knew they were related, we'd try and make sure they got different workers on the night, just to offer everybody the best support, really. And we find that works really well when they do contact in that way. Hmm. But I really want to, yeah, it's not had a lot of take up the parent support, but it is there, it is on offer. Please contact us. Hmm. As I say, as it's through Teen Connect, you can contact from 3:30 and get that support. We really want to kind of look at it. We're looking at it as an angle of if the family gets support and the parent gets support, then hopefully that helps everybody feel more supported within the home.
Yeah, without doubt.
That goes for parents and carers.
It sounds really good. I think I've heard a little bit about somebody saying parents can get support at Teen Connect. So that's really good as well, yeah. And you know, you've changed the times, because I think that is a really key time, isn't it, after school, because sometimes it's a little window where they might be on their own for a little bit. They might be able to have a bit of privacy before everybody comes home or even on their way home.
I think that's a big thing, isn't it, with be able to access support yourself without needing to ask permission or have anyone aware that that's what you're doing. And that's something that's great about Teen Connect as well, is that you can do that kind of in isolation without anybody knowing that that's what you're doing, or you can be quite open about the fact that you're contacting us, and that's completely up to the person contacting us, what they want people to know. So you don't need permission from a parent to contact us, and if you want support in the spot, you can text us and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. You can also arrange support for later in the night, so if you know that you're going to have privacy after midnight, you can text us early in the night and let us know that you'd want a support after 12, something like that. I think that's the big thing, is that you don't need to ask permission, and it's not like a referral or anything. If you want support, you can just ask for it and we'll get back to you as soon as possible.
You said, Alice, you don't need parental permission. Is that at all, or is it over a certain age?
As I'm aware.
For us, for under 13s, it changes at 13. So the permission for 11 and 12, we need to have permission from parents to work with the 11 and 12 year old. So normally it'd be written, and we might have a brief conversation with the parents before we start that work. But we've never, that's for 11 and 12, and then from 13, then we don't need that anymore.
Is that because for the safe zone, it's more likely to be face-to-face once it's back up running? So you need permission to kind of have somebody in the building and know that they're getting there safely and back safely.
Yeah, that we still do it for the phones, or maybe that's just because that's going to be the model, so that's what we're sticking to now. Maybe that the model of safe zone is that, yeah, like you say, 11 and 12s, we get permission.
So what time's safe zone open again? It's six until nine. So five for referrals, six until nine. Okay. And how do people get in touch? What's the number that they need to call? So there's a 0113 number, that one, is it? 819-8189.
Yeah, so the phone line is open from 5. The support starts from 6 till 9 on Sunday, Mondays and Thursdays. And the phone line will open at 5 o'clock for referrals. So it's just, first come, first served basis, and we just take it from there at 5 o'clock. and the phone lines will stay up until 8:30 to organise the support up until 9.
I was just wondering what a referral looks like with Safe Zone.
Name, age, sort of the preferences around what they want to be called, gender, things like that. Like an equal opportunities form, kind of, with that information on. And then if they want to give like a little bit of background information, they can give a bit of background information, just if they want to. What their preferred gender of worker would be.
So there's, so this is when people phone up, they're the questions that you would ask to kind of get a bit of a, just an idea of who they are, how old they are, and so on. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's not really any kind of questioning on around what they're going through. It's just if they phone, they want support, then they get support at the minute.
Sure.
So now's a really good time for them to call if they want support.
Yeah, sounds definitely.
Like likely to get straight through.
Yeah, yeah, which is good. Mm. Yeah, so we'll just see how that goes.
A question I want to put to both of you, obviously within the realms of confidentiality, so don't identify anybody, but I'm curious what sort of things people have been talking about in the last few months, you know, like how much has the pandemic and lockdown and everything featured in how people are talking?
I think it has come up. I think it's come up because people's coping mechanisms maybe have changed. So whereas they might have before, especially in the early stages of the lockdown, when we weren't like sort of able to go out and meet other people, if a person's coping skills were going into town or meeting friends, going to the cinema, all those things that they couldn't do, I guess that was quite a sort of a thing, you know, that they might have struggled with because they couldn't do those things that they would normally do. But then I think for some people it's been the same, the worries that they had before, you know, whether that was family situations or things that were happening already, online, difficulties with online, social media and things like that. Those things would probably have stayed the same. So I think maybe it's a bit of a mixture, I think. Don't know what you think, Alice, but...
Yeah, I think it's probably been about the same. Maybe family issues have felt a little bit more heightened because everyone's been shut inside. But speaking from like personal experience and things that I've heard from other people, I think most people have struggled with the isolation of lockdown and not being able to do, like you said, those coping methods of going out and seeing friends and going out for meals. And that's sort of been taken away from people. So it probably had an impact in that way. But I'm also aware that on the flip side, not having gone to school, for a lot of people, that's meant less stress, less pressure. Although it'd be interesting to see how things are for people after today with the A-level results coming out, what kind of impact that's now had on people's results and the stress that that might cause, because lockdown has meant they haven't been able to sit the exams in the same way, if even at all, or have those lessons and have that input from their teachers. And that support could be invaluable at this time from having face-to-face contact with a teacher. So it might be that we see from today a rise in stress or worry about their futures if exam results don't look so good. But yeah, if that's you, please feel free to call us. You can talk it through with us if you want.
I suppose I was also thinking that period after school when perhaps parents are not home yet or teens haven't yet got home. That obviously won't have been the case recently, will it? So
yeah,
people will have been a lot more restricted about when they can reach out and when they can talk to people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I think... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just going to say I think that definitely a lack of privacy has been... has been quite a big thing. People being at home or sharing bedrooms and things like that has been a bit of a difficult thing. I don't know how I managed to forget, but I think I've just realised I have spoken to quite a lot of people about either finishing university was a big one when they were finishing, or A-level results, GCSE results, things like that has come up quite a lot actually. So yeah, like it'll be interesting to see how that pans out today as well, because I think it is going to be very difficult for people that had a plan that worked really hard, and then now, the results might not be what they thought they were going to be. I suppose it's just for us to give that reminder that actually, you know, there's always sort of like different routes. It's not always what people want to hear, but but there is different routes. And I think sometimes we might be the only people that are saying that. So we're like an alternative voice, because I know school, I've done workshops as well for like exam stress and things like that. And a lot of the young people report that the teachers are quite sort of pushy and quite demanding. And I think we give that up, we give that other angle of things, looking at the well-being of the young person, but also talking about alternative routes with the young people. So I think that's quite an important part of our work with young people, is giving that alternative voice, really. To sometimes, you know, well-meaning parents, I'm a parent myself, but sometimes giving that alternative voice that is not the same connection as a parent, and we can give that outlook of, you know, this is an option, that's an option, you know, there's resits, there's things like that. And I just don't think sometimes schools deliver that message. So, yeah, that's quite an important part, I think.
I think that's a big part of the support that we can offer, is that we are somebody outside of the situation. Like, we don't know them, we're not involved in any way. All we know is what that person chooses to tell us and what they want to talk about. And it might be that for them, they have a lot of pressure on those results. And what we'll do is hopefully just be that place where you can come to and say, this sucks, this is rubbish, and this is really stressful, and I'm really scared. And hopefully we can sit there and just hear that and sit with you in that and recognise that it is scary, because it might be that there's so many other voices telling you what you should be doing, or what they want you to be doing, or what's expected. And hopefully we can offer that place where you'll actually be able to sit with just where you are in that moment, in that fear and that trepidation of opening those results. I actually wrote a blog post at some point last year about some results that I received when I was doing my GCSEs. So the blog post is on our website somewhere. And hopefully that can highlight that we've been there as well. We've been through that stress and that struggle, and we know how difficult it can be. I can't remember exactly what I wrote in the post now, but it was about the time when I opened my results and what that looked like and how that was for me. So it might be that some people can relate to bits of that. It might be it's completely different to your experience. But that just shows as well that everyone has a different experience of these things, and everyone's going to think about them differently and feel different things as they go through that.
I'm just looking for exam results. There it is. Yeah,
you
August 2019. Yeah, I found it. Oh. So it's exactly a year ago you wrote that, or it was posted.
That time of year, it's the stress of exam results month.
All right, thank you very much, Nisha and Alice. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Good in a Crisis is a Leeds survivor-led crisis service production. For more information on our services, visit www.lslcs.org.uk or visit dialhouseleeds.com.